Alrighty, what's going on, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of the Trent Corville Show. I am him. I greatly appreciate everybody joining me here on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday afternoon. I am broadcasting live from the ESPN 98.9 studios here in Charleston. And ladies and gentlemen, we have week one. Now, obviously, we are going into week nine of the college football season, but week one of the college football playoff rankings. And now, a lot of people get upset that there is a ton of overreaction to the week one poll. But let's not be fooled. We all overreact to the AP poll at the beginning of the year. We all overreact to the Heisman Trophy Award every year. Everything is an overreaction. Who doesn't realize this? Every single day, there's sports news. And every single day, you overreact to it. That's it. That's what we do as, you know, sports broadcasters. I absolutely love it. And so what am I going to do right now? Is overreact to the college football playoff rankings because I have a ton of questions. I really do. Now, we've heard a lot of talk because obviously the first ever college football playoff rankings that came out, right? It was Mississippi State, number one, Ole Miss at number two, and a couple other teams. None of those teams got into the playoff that year. Okay, so yes, sure, people can overreact and it will be wrong, but let's look at the AP Top 25 poll. Basically, everybody who was ranked in the top 10 is no longer ranked in the top 10. I mean, Clemson was the number two overall team in the country. DJ Uiagalelei, he was the Heisman favorite, actually second in the Heisman rankings going into the season. Who was number one? It was Spencer Rattler, the kid who got benched by the next face of college football. You've heard it here first, Superman in Caleb Williams. By the way, his Heisman odds, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, have gone up to plus 850. It was at plus 2,000. He's creeping up, and Oklahoma's 8-0. And I understand that, you know, the Texas win was a close one. I understand that they went into Kansas and almost got beat by one of the worst college football teams we have ever seen in the last 50 years. And that is not an overreaction. Kansas is a basketball school. And Oklahoma went in there, I believe at halftime, they were down like 14-10 or something like that. And obviously, I took Oklahoma minus 38 that day, minus 38 points. I was like, oh, Caleb Williams coming off that win against Texas, he's going to score 150 points. And obviously, he didn't. They won a close one. But it shows the Oklahoma Sooners are able to turn it on at any moment. It's kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they beat the Giants in a close one. But Patrick Mahomes has a $500 million contract. $500 million. Let's all remember that. Is this the biggest overreaction to an MVP and Super Bowl winner we have ever had? Now, I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes is not great. We've seen why he is worth that $500 million, okay? But this season, he is leading the NFL in interceptions right now. He's got 10 interceptions. And is that on the receivers? It could be. Tyreek Hill is still healthy, playing good football. He has the exact same team besides the offensive line. That's it. And last year, obviously, in the Super Bowl, the offensive line was atrocious. They had everybody out, but they went and got free agents. Orlando Brown at the left tackle. He's not even playing right now. They have two rookies playing tackle. Now, let's think about that. Like a guy like Von Miller coming off the edge, who's now a Los Angeles Ram, which the Rams just got so much better. So much better, and they're already really good. A rookie left tackle and right tackle are going to struggle against these big, big-time defensive ends, outside linebackers, TJ Watt, those kind of guys. So you can see why the Kansas City Chiefs are struggling, but at the same time, it's their defense as well. Patrick Mahomes, you got to pay him $500 million over the next 12 years. How do you get out of that? I have no clue. $500 million was given to this guy to play quarterback. And like I said, his MVP Super Bowl season, unbelievable. It's like, okay, this is the next guy. We had Brady. Awesome. This is the next guy. But the overreaction was like, oh, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win 15 Super Bowls. Like, they're going to blow Tom Brady out of the water. That's clearly not the case, but I digress. I will move on to the college football playoff rankings. Now, I want to go through the top 10 here because I have a lot of questions, a ton of questions about these rankings. Number one, obviously, the best team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs. It's not even close. All the voters, I believe, for the college football playoff committee, every single one of them voted Georgia as the number one team, as they should be. Jordan Davis in that defensive line, Nolan Smith is absolutely incredible. And I like Stetson Bennett. I like him. The little guy wearing 13. He looks awkward as all get out there. Okay, the helmet really doesn't fit right. He's in his 15th year at Georgia. The guy's playing well. JT Daniels, former five-star quarterback who transferred in, he's sitting on the bench. If Stetson Bennett goes down, A team can't celebrate. They can't because they have a five-star quarterback who went 7-0 last year as a starter for the Bulldogs, sitting behind him, who has a knee injury. He's kind of, you know, wonky a little bit, but he's feeling better. But they're still putting Stetson Bennett in there because they're winning games. I put it out in July. I don't know if you remember this, if you listened to a previous, I believe July, when I first did a college football playoff preview. I predicted that the Georgia Bulldogs were going to win the national championship. I even put a bet on them at plus 900 in July. Plus 900. I'm feeling pretty good. But at the same time, college football, we never know what's going to happen. We absolutely never know. But Georgia, consensus number one overall team in the country. The number two team, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, there's a lot of talk on Twitter. The only reason Alabama's ranked is because they're a brand name. They are Alabama. They always get into the playoff. I think that's false. I actually enjoy them being at the number two spot here. I do. Even though they have one loss to Texas A&M, end of the game, field goal, the whole thing, they lost, and it wasn't a good loss. They scored 38 points. They let go of 41 points to the Texas A&M Aggies, who have been one of the most up-and-down teams I've ever seen. I mean, one week, they're almost losing to a Colorado team, a Pac-12 team, and the next week, they beat the Alabama Crimson Tide. How can we gauge these guys? And oh, by the way, Jimbo Fisher's making $96 million over the next couple of years. That's a thing. But anyways, Alabama, I'm fine with, okay? Bryce Young, he is the leader in the clubhouse right now to win the Heisman. There's not a ton of talk about him. You know, like, I haven't heard too much about Bryce Young in the news cycle. Like, he's just one of these quiet guys who's going to go on the field. He's going to throw the ball. Like, quite honestly, I haven't seen a lot of Alabama football this year. They're usually on late. They're not. They haven't had one of those games, you know, that's like, oh, here, until Auburn, Alabama comes. Like, they're not going to, they haven't really been on prime time. We haven't seen them on prime time because they're so good. Yeah, the Ole Miss Alabama game when Lane Kiffin threw the headset, get your popcorn ready, had that work out for you, pal. If that would have worked, if Ole Miss would have beaten Alabama, that would have gone down as one of the greatest moments in football history. Him looking at the reporter saying, get your popcorn ready, throwing the headset and running off into the sunset. I mean, that would have been absolutely phenomenal, but they got routed. It wasn't good. It was about 35-0 at halftime, and Lane Kiffin's kind of scratching his head like, probably shouldn't have said that. And he obviously came out and was like, spur of the moment. I thought the interview was over. But it's like, if you thought the interview was over, are you going to throw the headset 15 feet in the air like you do your clipboard every time your offense scores a touchdown? By the way, Ole Miss, completely fallen off. Completely fallen off. They were at the top of their game until Matt Corral got injured. It's going to be interesting to see with Matt Corral because he's fallen out of the Heisman ratings right now. Is he going to go to the NFL? Maybe. I could see him going to the NFL. I'm sure somebody will take him in the top 10 picks. But at the same time, you watch that kid. Is he like 150 pounds? I mean, unless his jersey is really, really big, which nowadays you're not wearing jerseys that are really big. They're usually incredibly tight, very nice fit. You know what I'm saying? He looks small. And I worry if he goes into the NFL, let's say the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they will likely move on from Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to get killed. Yes, sure, he's playing in the SEC, but this is the men's league. People always think that there's a comparison between college football and the NFL. There is zero comparison. All those guys you see on the field, starting 11, starting for offense and defense, one of them, maybe. Unless it's Alabama. Because Alabama last year, you had two guys, a receiver who went first round, you had a quarterback who went first round, you had a lineman who went first round, but that's incredibly rare. It is very rare that a team will have more than two players make it in. And sure, he's in the SEC. That's where a majority of the NFL players are coming from nowadays. But he has to put on weight or else I am incredibly nervous for Matt Corral going in the NFL. Malik Willis, on the other hand, for Liberty, Mel Kiper has Malik Willis at the top 10 in the number one quarterback overall. You're telling me that a Liberty quarterback, and yes, he's 6'5", he's 240 pounds, he's a monster. And the ball looks so small. It's like Shaq. Have you ever seen Shaq drinking a bottle of water? You know, the water bottle looks incredibly miniature, like the miniature teacups. You know what I'm saying? That's him. That's Malik Willis with the football. It's like Odell Beckham when he carries a football. It's like, is that a Nerf ball? I mean, your hands are incredibly large. So he's a big guy. He can throw the ball. He can sling it a country mile. But he's a guy who you'll have to bring in and he'll have to sit. He will have to sit for a year because let's be honest, Liberty is not running NFL offenses. And more importantly, he's not playing future NFL players. He's playing schools like Rice. He's playing schools like Virginia Commonwealth. Let's pump our brakes on Malik Willis, but I digress and I will move on. Number three, Michigan State, 8-0. I love Michigan State. Kenneth Walker III is an unbelievable running back. I mean, to be in a rivalry game, Michigan State, noon kickoff. It's a little foggy. It's a little hazy, okay? This is Big Ten football. This is smash mouth football. Let me punch you in the mouth and let me run down your throat. And that's what Kenneth Walker did, 197 yards and 5 touchdowns. Against a Michigan run defense that was one of the top 10 in the country. They couldn't stop pass to save their life, but this game they couldn't stop both. I mean, Michigan had the lead for a good bit, and then Kenneth Walker really turned it on. He has moved up in the Heisman ratings week by week by week. He keeps getting better. You know, Michigan State and Ohio State still have to play. They're playing in a couple weeks. Do I think Ohio State will win? Absolutely. I think Ohio State is by far the best team in the Big Ten, if not the best team in the country. Okay, but right behind Georgia. But they have a loss. So you have to look at that loss. And it was a loss to an Oregon team who had two star defensive players out. It wasn't a good look. The defense was giving up the same play. They literally ran a counter to the left 3 times for 3 touchdowns. They just couldn't figure it out. But now you watch this Ohio State team, it's like, oh boy, okay. The Buckeyes are back. Like, they understand. CJ Stroud, this kid, he's a freshman. All right, he's a freshman from California in Ohio State. Him and Caleb Williams are the next up. Those guys are going to be superstars. I really hope that Oklahoma gets a better defense so we can see a national championship game between CJ Stroud and Caleb Williams in a couple of years. That's going to be like, you know, when Deshaun Watson played Tua, or Deshaun Watson played Jalen, and Mac played Justin Fields last year. It'll be Sam Bradford played Tim Tebow. Like, they'll be in the Heisman conversations for a very, very long. And we might see it this year. Ohio State right now sitting at number 5. You know who's sitting in front of them? The team who beat them, the Oregon Ducks. Now, I have a lot of opinions on the Oregon Ducks. They won that game without Kayvon Thibodeau, excuse me, and Justin Flo, okay, linebacker and defensive end. But they lost to the UCLA Bruins. All right, and UCLA has been a good football team, sure, but they're not in the top 25, if that tells you anything, and they lost. Now, Ohio State's loss looks much better, in my opinion, than Oregon's loss. So I'm a tad bit confused as to why Oregon is above Ohio State. I guess the head-to-head does matter, and it's very rare that Oregon and Ohio State would play each other in any type of season, unless it was the college football playoff. Yeah, I mean, Gary Barta, the head of the playoff committee, he came out basically like, head-to-head matters. Oregon beat Ohio State. That's why they're in front of them. Ohio State's been putting up 50 points a game against Big Ten opponents. And they have the meat of their schedule here in a couple weeks. Obviously, they already played Penn State. They beat them. They're going to play Michigan State in 2 weeks. They're going to beat them. And they're going to play Michigan in 3 weeks. And they're going to beat Michigan by 60 points. This is for the teams that are on the bubble. They need to win. And they need to win in style. Like Wake Forest, for example. Wake Forest is sitting at number 9 in the country. My boy, okay, my guy, Sammy Hartman. All right, I caught balls, thousands of footballs from Sam Hartman in about an eight-month period of knowing the guy. He's in his 4th year at Wake Forest. They're the number 9 team in the country. They're undefeated. But when you look at their schedule, okay, and this is like Cincinnati. Cincinnati's sitting at number 6 right now. Check Twitter, just type in Cincinnati and see the outrage from people that Cincinnati's not in the top 4. Let me tell you something about Cincinnati, okay? I love that they're at 6. Preferably, I would put them lower. I would still put them in the top 10, but you're telling me that the number 6 overall team in the country is the Cincinnati Bearcats, who, yes, beat Notre Dame, who is now the number 10 team in the country. But you look at who Cincinnati plays throughout the season. They almost lost to a Navy team who's 1-6. It was 14-10 at halftime, Tulane leading last week. Tulane's 1-7. The strength of schedule matters, all right? And sure, Cincinnati's been on a rise for the last couple years, I would assume, right? I mean, they played Georgia last year close in a big bowl game. I would much rather, and I think I've said this before, I would much rather Cincinnati get into a New Year's Six bowl and just leave it at that. Imagine if Cincinnati's the 4th overall team in the college football playoff, and they have to play the Georgia Bulldogs the first round. That is going to be so ugly. Luke Fickell, because obviously he's looking for different jobs, all right? The Notre Dame job is probably in his eyes. Brian Kelly is not going to leave, and probably until he dies, but they really should get him out of there, because Notre Dame every single year has these high expectations and they never meet them. It's like Texas, it's like Michigan, and I think you have to look at the coach who's been there for a long time. Brian Kelly just hasn't brought in the correct recruits, hasn't done his job, and now I think they're staring at Luke Fickell and being like, if this guy makes the college football playoff, it's going to be tough to get him out of there. It really is, because he's built this program. He's literally from the ground up. Cincinnati was nothing. Sure, they played Florida in the 2010 Sugar Bowl, Tebow's last game. They got routed 54-3. I mean, we put these group of five schools in because everybody complains that they're not in, they're not getting a fair chance, and then you see why. They get absolutely embarrassed. I honestly think if Cincinnati and Ohio State played right now, I would predict the score 50-14. That's the discrepancy of talent. Sure, Desmond Ridder, great football player. Last time I watched him, I thought I was watching a high school quarterback, quite honestly. He's been there for 4 years. He was missing throws. He threw two picks against Navy. Against Navy! They run the triple option. What is this, 1940? And you're almost losing to this team who only has beaten one other team? I just don't understand the hype around Cincinnati. Yeah, they're undefeated, but Oklahoma is undefeated. They're 9-0. You're telling me that Cincinnati is a better undefeated football team than Oklahoma, that Cincinnati's wins are better than Oklahoma's. That is egregious. That's egregious to me. Flip them. I'd be fine with that. And Michigan, sitting at number 7, get them out of there. They lost to Michigan State. They're done because they got to go play Ohio State. They're going to lose to Ohio State. They got to play Penn State. James Franklin. What is wrong with this guy? What is wrong with him? I don't understand. Is he okay? Is he eyeing the USC job? Because quite honestly, if James Franklin goes to Southern Cal, and everybody knows who I think is going to the University of Southern California, and that is a man by the name of Urban Meyer, who owns Urban Meyer's Pint House, just letting everybody know, and also Urban Meyer's Chop House as well. You know what I love about Urban Meyer? That he has to put his name over everything he owns, just so the Ohio State cult that it is will be like, oh, is Urban Meyer in there? Is Urban Meyer there? We gotta go find him. He is the most egotistical maniac I've ever met in my life, and that's why he'd be a perfect fit for USC. They need a guy like that. This is what Urban Meyer's recruiting pitch is. He sits down in a home south of Los Angeles, let's say, and he's sitting there with the family, with the grandma, and everything like that. He says, son, he's looking at the kid, son, do you like winning football games? He says, yes. Do you like winning national championships? Have you ever won a national championship? You haven't. You want to win one? Urban Meyer in college football wins national championships. That's all he does. That's all he does. He gave me great years. Urban Meyer gave me great years of my life. I loved Urban Meyer. And then all of a sudden, his heart, his poor little heart is not working. It's not working properly. He needs to see the grandkids. He needs to spend time with his family. Then 8 months later, ESPN, boom, pops up on the phone. What does it say? Urban Meyer, next head coach of Ohio State. Okay, you're deceiving. Then he leaves Ohio State. He hides up sexual assault allegations from one of his assistant coaches. He says, all right, I got to get out of this. I got to get out of this hot water. Oh, my back. My back is killing me. I'm standing on the sidelines every single week. My back is killing me. Let me go down to Jacksonville to an NFL team and let me see if I can go to the NFL. Now he's in Jacksonville. They've won one game, a singular football game. I'd be surprised if the Jacksonville Jaguars win 3 football games this year. I'd be shocked, okay? And I feel bad. I feel bad for the boy T-Law, for Trevor Lawrence. That hair flowing, it's beautiful. Trevor Lawrence is in all these commercials now, and you got to think, like, this kid is on a trajectory for the next 15 years in the NFL, and Urban Meyer is going to ruin him. He's going to ruin him. So Herb's going back to USC. James Franklin, though, is in shambles. He's in shambles. He's got a new agent, Jimmy Sexton. Jimmy knows how to work the deals, okay? We all know about Jimmy Sexton. So now, I mean, Penn State's going to have to play Michigan, and I hope they beat Michigan because I honestly think Jim Harbaugh is out of there. He's got to be out of there. Jim Harbaugh is 0-7 against the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's 3-4 against Michigan State. That's all you need to know. If you're taking the Michigan job, you're brought to do one thing and one thing only. Beat Michigan State and beat Ohio State. In his tenure, he's beaten Michigan State 3 times out of the 7, and he's never beaten Ohio State. Is that what we want? And we're just okay with it? Like, oh, we'll get him next year. We'll get him next year. No, you won't. No, you won't, because Ohio State is taking all your recruits, pulling all of them in. Hey, Ryan Day going into a recruiting pitch. A kid's choosing between Ohio State and Michigan. He hands them the records of the Michigan-Ohio State games in the last 15 years. Just hands it to him. Slides it across the desk like it's a contract negotiation. And they take a look at those records and go, okay, I know where I'm going. How can Jim Harbaugh be like, we win games? No, you don't. You don't win games. You don't win the big games. Sure, you beat Nebraska. You beat Wisconsin. You beat Purdue. Fun. Good. You should. But when you get up to the big dogs, when you get up to the Buckeyes, you got problems. And so I do have a problem with Michigan at 7. Because look, Cincinnati's 8-0. Oklahoma's 8-0. Wake Forest is 8-0. They should all be ahead of him. They should all be ahead of the Michigan. I get Oregon at 4 and Ohio State 4-5. I understand that. But these other squads, these other undefeated teams, what are we doing? It makes no sense. And Notre Dame at 10 is mind-boggling to me. They lost to Cincinnati. Again, we're overhyping the Cincinnati Bearcats. We continue to do it. They were the number 2 team in the country in the AP poll. But I kind of like how the playoff committee got smart. They got smart and we're like, wait a minute. They're not actually really good. Okay, the AP poll will say it, sure. Everybody can vote on it. Yeah. Oh, we love the Bearcats. They're a group of 5 school that's going to finally break into the college football playoff. Again, imagine if they play Georgia week 1 of the college football playoff. Imagine if they play Alabama. The SEC championship is going to be Georgia and Alabama. I would love, and this is my scenario, I'll wrap this thing up by saying how I think the college football playoff is going to look. I think the SEC championship game is going to come around. Georgia will be undefeated. Alabama, 1 loss. Alabama's going to beat Georgia in the SEC championship. I have a feeling. I have a feeling that that's going to happen. I think Alabama's going to get hot. So now you got Georgia with 1 loss. You got Alabama with 1 loss. I think Ohio State will beat Michigan State. So now Ohio State has 1 loss and Michigan State has 1 loss as well. It's going to be 2 SEC teams and 2 Big Ten teams in the national championship. I love Wake Forest. I love the Demon Deacons. Love Sam. Love Coach Clawson. Love all those guys. Great, great humans. I would be incredibly terrified if the Wake Forest Demon Deacons got into the college football playoff and lined up against Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, and the Georgia Bulldogs defense. That could not happen. If that happened, I would call Sam and say, you need to run. You need to run. You need to hand the ball off quick. Only quick passes here. Because if you're holding the ball, and that's what Wake does. They hold the ball in the back. They let it go. They let Sammy Boy get going. By the way, I didn't realize this. Kenneth Walker, Heisman candidate right now, Wake Forest transfer. How do you let that guy go? How do you let him go? He transferred out of Wake Forest last year to Michigan State this year, joined Mel Tucker's squad, and now he is the best running back in the country. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's why I think Wake Forest, sure, they're undefeated. I love them sitting in the top 10. It's great for them. They also, the bulk of their schedule is in the next 3 weeks. They got UNC, they got NC State, and they got Clemson. Clemson stinks, UNC stinks, NC State's okay. But I can see them, quite honestly, losing all 3 of those football games. I do, because they've played Louisville, Syracuse, Florida State, Murray State, teams like that. That's what Wake Forest does. They win those football games, and then when they got to play the other quote-unquote big dogs in the ACC, usually doesn't work out. But like I said, Big Ten versus SEC matchup in the college football playoff, lock it in, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and Michigan State. So that would mean we'd have Georgia and Ohio State going at it, and we'd have Alabama and Michigan State going at it. And I think we all know how both those games will go. And we'll just see another SEC football championship game, because quite honestly, the SEC is the most dominant conference, and it's not even close. So with that, I greatly appreciate everybody joining me here today. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, okay? Give us a 5-star rating and be a friend, see a friend, tell a friend, share it with a friend, and more importantly, 9 to 12 a.m. every single day, Monday through Friday, join me on the Scott Hamilton Show, 9 to 12, ESPN 98.9 FM in Charleston, the ESPN 98.9 app in the App Store or Google Play, and charlestonsportsradio.com. I greatly appreciate everybody joining us here today, and I will see you next Thursday. Peace and love.